A little bit of a break from Ephesians this morning. We've been going through the book of Ephesians for several weeks, but this is the last Sunday of this particular year. Are some of y'all excited about that or not? Maybe not sure about it. Yeah, it did go by awful fast, and boy, 2015 is just a few days away. And this message this morning really is kind of in anticipation of what next year is going to bring. I'm going to let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we can spend some time again looking into your word. And as we just think about time in relationship to where we are in it, we know that this year is quickly coming to an end, and we're looking forward to the year ahead and all that it means, all the opportunities that present themselves because of what you are doing in time and for eternity. And the great privilege that we have by being laborers together with you in your endeavor. We pray and ask that as we study your word this morning, that we might remember the things that we'll look at, and that we would allow your word to work in us, because we know it will work in us when we believe it. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to begin by asking that everyone has a pencil or pen and a piece of paper. Something to write with. You need a piece of paper. Anybody got... Who needs paper? Remember, when you come to this ministry, you got to come with paper, right? That's part of the requirement. We used to say, if you come to this Bible church, you had to have a Bible and a hockey stick, right? Now it's a Bible, a hockey stick, a dirt bike, and paper, right? No, anyway, but have some paper. I want you to take some notes this morning. You're feeling better. That's good. Yeah. Several people asked how you were doing everything. So, but we're glad to see you. Welcome. So grab a piece of paper, and I'm going to have you take some notes on it, jot some things down. As I mentioned, this message, we're kind of taking a break from the book of Ephesians today. We'll go back next Sunday. It'll be the first message of the year. Today, the last message of 2014, and I've got some key passages that I want to look at this morning. I'm going to have you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we're going to read at verse 16. We're going to read verse 16, 17, and 18 together, out loud. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll give everybody a chance to get there. 1 Thessalonians 5, and it'll be 16, 17, and 18. Everybody got that? Okay, here we go. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do on your piece of paper. You're going to write down three things initially on your piece of paper. At the top of your paper, you're going to write down that very first verse. What does it say? So at the top, so just if you divide your paper into three sections, the first thing you're just going to write down, rejoice evermore. Got that? Write that down. In case you want to know how to spell it, don't look at my handwriting. Okay? You can use your Bible there. Right? Now, if you had to take a guess, what do you think the second thing you're going to write down is? Hey, there you go. Joe got it. That's pretty. So leave some space. Next, you're going to go pray without ceasing. Okay? I just, shorthand, W/O, without, pray, so write that down that next, pray without ceasing. And then once again, you're going to leave some room. And if you had to guess the third thing you're going to write down, what would you say?
In everything.
Yeah, there you go. So you could just, you can abbreviate it, shorten up, just, in everything, just give thanks. Okay, so you just go give thanks. Okay? So you got three things listed on your paper. Now what I want you to do, I really was serious when I said get a piece of paper and write this down. I really was. Okay, I wasn't joking. Okay, this is for all of us to benefit from. All right, so, but I'm not mad if you don't. Okay. Nowadays the kids have their iPads and cell phones. They just take notes on their phones is all they do. Isn't that something? Now what I want you to do is this. I want you to write down under each of those categories, I want you to write down three things. And here they are. Number one, under rejoice evermore, I want you to pick three things down, reasons why you should rejoice evermore. Three reasons for rejoicing. Very specific. And I don't mean like, for example, man, I'm rejoicing because I didn't get a ticket from the cops when I was speeding on the way to church this morning. When I say right down through, I want you to think about things that are life-changing things, that are reasons to rejoice. Okay? Three core issues. Write down three things. Three core issues that give purpose and meaning to your life. Why you are here. Three reasons for rejoice evermore. Write down three things. Okay? And again, I don't want something like, well, because I'm rejoicing because we went to Costco yesterday, so I know there's food in my refrigerator when I get home today. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about three core fundamental issues. Okay? Everybody got that? I'll give you a little time here. We're good there? Okay. So similar type thing under pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I want you to write down three reasons to pray without ceasing. And you can do it one of two ways. You can go reasons to pray, or you can go things to pray for. But the first really is the sense of when that verse says pray without ceasing. Three reasons to pray without ceasing. Okay? And again, you don't want it to be something like, and I'm not going to fault you if you have it, something like this, but it's not so much, well, I'm going to pray, I have a reason to pray because I live in California, kind of a thing. Or I have a reason to pray because I drive a nice car. Well, that's true. You can be thankful for all those things, whatever, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about core fundamental issues. Pray without ceasing. Why pray without ceasing? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Pray without ceasing. Three things. You can write more if you want, but we just won't have time. You can fill this in later on this week if you want to fill in more details. Three reasons to pray without ceasing. What's that? Oh, use the blue one? Okay. Is the black one hard to see? Okay. Yeah, let's just throw that one away then. Okay, next. Under the verse that says, in everything give thanks. I want you to do the same thing. I want you to write down three reasons to give thanks. Three reasons. Or you could do it another way, thankful for, and then write down the four. Three reasons to give thanks. You can write down more, but again, we just don't have time to. And I want to welcome those that are listening by the internet and encourage you that are listening by the internet to be doing this assignment along with us. Be doing this with us. Do the same thing. Get your piece of paper, write down, rejoice evermore, prayer without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And then, under each category, write down three things that fit what the verse says. Everybody with me? We're on the same page here? Okay, now, ready to go with message?
No.
Not yet. Okay, I'll give you a minute. Okay, you can fill in more as we go and everything. Today is, of course, the last Sunday of this year, and it is not unusual for people at the end of each year to kind of take inventory of how the year went. Whether it's with your finances or with your education or with your, if you're a self-employed business owner, you kind of, you know, how did the business go this year? What did we do that didn't work out so well? What did we do that could work better? And so it's very common that you just kind of take an inventory of how the year went. We as believers, we would ask questions like, well, spiritually, how are we doing? Did I grow this year, spiritually speaking? By the way, what's the answer to that question? Did you or not? Okay, and how do you know if you grew? That's another good question too. How do you actually know if you grew spiritually? How do you know?
As you took on the Word of God, as you believed it, and as you learned from it. You're
and so how do you know that you grew spiritually?
You walk with the Lord.
Interesting, because your behavior, your walk changed. Mm-hmm. How you responded to events changes. It doesn't mean that how you did it last year was wrong. It just means you changed in terms of how you respond to events. You respond to them based upon the Word of God. Okay, so that's why I say we as believers, we can evaluate the last year. How do we do spiritually? How do we do individually, collectively, things like that. But not only do you want to review, and not only do people in the secular world review how this last year went, why do you do stuff like that? Why does someone in the business community or with their finances or their family, their education, why? What's the purpose of reviewing how the last year went? What are you wanting to do? Because you're looking to the future. One of the amazing things about human existence, about human life, is just that concept of the future. Think about that. How many of y'all have pets? And we're not talking about your kids, okay? How many of y'all have pets? Okay? Dog, cat, bird, turtle, whatever, fish. I promise you, your turtle that woke up this morning didn't make plans for 2015. Neither did your fish or your cat. Unless plans to survive, because you're... Well, anyway, listen, animals don't live like that. But one of the unique things about the human existence, the being human, is the concept, the idea of the future. Hence, looking to the future. Hence, plans, purposes, the next event. By the way, why is that true of human beings as compared to, say, again, a bird or a fish? We have a different kind of a being. We're created in the image and likeness of God. God has plans and purposes, all right? What's that? So does the IRS, he says. Yeah, that's true, my friend. Yeah. So you have to plan for that, right? And so what we want to do here this morning, and the reason I go... What's that? They have time for you. That's right. They make time, right? But the reason I wanted to look at these verses this morning, I mean, there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses that we could look at in Paul's epistles that would be great verses to look at. But I want to look at these verses this morning because of how simple these verses are, because of how simple they are to remember, and yet how full they are with sound doctrine that can help us on a regular basis, and especially as we anticipate looking into the new year. As you think about 2015, as you think about the coming year, are you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Joe, why? Joe and Sue. What's that?
We're headed towards summer, it's going to warm up.
Where he says we're headed towards summer, it's going to warm up. Yeah. You know? What's that? Berta says because we're closer to the rapture. The Apostle Paul, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What else? Anything else you're excited about as you look forward to 2015? Meaning what?
Learning more
about the Word of God. Okay? Opportunity to learn Scripture abounds. It's here. It's written down. And we can continue to learn. Anything else? Any other reason why you're excited about 2015? What do you look forward to in 2015?
Sharing the gospel
with others. And hence, seeing others actually get saved and become members of the body of Christ. We're Scripture says we're laborers together with God. God allows us to labor together with Him in this ministry of His grace. Isn't that amazing? So 2015 is a tremendous opportunity in all of its aspects. Now, what about challenges? Are there any challenges that we're going to... Again, the IRS, right? Are there any challenges that we're going to face in 2015? What do you think? Such as? What's that? Financial? It's always financial challenges. Listen, think about this. Have you ever just sat and thought about how much of human existence is spent on just trying to figure the budget out? Just trying how, man, I got to make ends meet. I got to pay these bills. How much of human existence is involved with that? You know, it's amazing. What else? What are some other challenges that we're going to face in 2015?
Health issues.
Health issues is a big one. Why are health issues? Why can we be almost guaranteed health issues in 2015?
Because the outward man is perishing.
See, that's why you know for sure. Okay? What else? What are some other things that challenges? What's that?
Government.
Okay? Absolutely. Jim, were you going to say something?
Just maintaining the right perspective when you're inundated with such negative news all the time.
Say that again real loud. For the folks listening on the internet, what'd you say?
Maintaining the right perspective despite being inundated with such negative information on the news.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. That's key. Mm-hmm. Right there. How do you remain positive? How do you remain optimistic? How do you remain excited when you're constantly bombarded, all the time with such negative information from all realms, whether it's government, whether it's finances, whether it's society, whether it's sin, whether it's, you turn on the TV, you go on the internet, you go on Yahoo, and there's story after story, another shooting, another plane missing. Did you read that last night? Another plane missing. 160 passengers gone. They can't find them. This latest this morning. Yeah. Another Asia flight. Yeah. Jim, go ahead.
But you know that it doesn't pick up in the field.
What's that?
It doesn't pick up the speaker.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It didn't pick it up. All right. That's all. I'll try to repeat it and everything. Yeah, just living in the world. Scripture tells us that we live in a present evil world. It tells us that Satan's god of this world, right? Mm-hmm. So think about that. What's that? We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we don't want to live based upon what the world's information is, right? We want to go to the right resource. Okay, let's go ahead.
So you just become stronger and more mature.
How? He says you become stronger and more mature. Question is how? Renewing your mind. That's exactly right. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah. Tuning out negativity.
Yep. Right. But tuning out isn't sufficient because you have to...
Tune in.
You have to tune in. Again, the renewing of the mind. I understand that's what you're saying. Listen, every one of us, each and every day, we are free to choose something. What? What you think. Every one of us, each and every day, you are free to choose your thoughts. And your thoughts is what produce your actions. Every one of us, we are free to choose our thoughts. I've been teaching on Wednesday mornings a series about the salvation from the tyranny of our emotions. We've gotten a lot of interesting feedback on this series. And I want to use an illustration right now as we proceed. We'll get to the verses here in a moment. I'm trying to rush to get to the verses, okay? Let me use an illustration with this whole concept that we're free to choose our thoughts. And I'm going to suggest these verses are to be our thoughts, okay? We'll get there in a minute, all right? But we're all free to choose our thoughts. Okay, I got a question for you right now. What are you right now, everyone looking at me? What are you right now? Right now, what are you thinking about right now?
A new creation. We are a new creation.
What are you thinking about right now? Right this split second.
Where are you going with this verse?
Okay, where are you going with this verse? What's that? He's thinking, I hope he doesn't call on me. What's someone else thinking? What are you thinking? What's he going to say next? What else are you thinking? The young people are thinking, what are we going to have for lunch? What am I saying by this? I'm demonstrating that every one of us, at every moment of our life, you get to choose your own thoughts. Every one of us. At whatever moment, whatever place you're at any moment in your life, you get to choose, you are free to choose what you think. That's powerful. And it is potentially very liberating. But for some people, it's very frightening because it means something else. There you go. Say aloud. It means you are responsible. It means enough of the blame game. It means you do not need to live as a victim. You are free to choose your own thoughts. Look with me, if you would, to a passage over here in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Anybody know what this verse says? Galatians 5? Look at Galatians chapter 5. The fact that you and I are free to choose our own thoughts, to some people it's absolutely terrifying. Because if they live under depressing, discouraging, demeaning, self-defeating thoughts, and then all of a sudden you tell them that you are free to choose your own thoughts, Well, then why is it terrifying to them? Because, you know what? It's because they are choosing those thoughts of fear and terror. They are the victim of their own thinking process. And what's that? That's what we're going to read right here. About a yoke. It's a yoke of bondage. But it's a bondage that we choose to be under ourselves. And we don't have to be. You can be completely free of it. You do not have to live as a victim. A victim either of anybody else or even your own self, your own thinking process. Look at this verse right here. Galatians 5 verse 1 says this. He says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us what?"
Free.
Okay, I got a question for you. What does that verse says Christ said that Christ did with you and for you?
Made you free.
He made you free. And He placed you in where?
Christ.
In liberty. If you're in Christ, you're in the liberty of His grace. Christ has made you free. So question, are you free?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the verse says. He goes on to say, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now in the context here, the yoke of bondage is a reference to what? Living under the law. What does the law do? It condemns you. Every aspect of it. Think about this. When the Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." By the way, that what I just quoted, it's not one of the Ten Commandments, is it? Did you know that? Christ said it's the greatest of commandments, and all the laws contained in that one, but it's not one of the Ten Commandments. But if you try to live your life under, "I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength," how are you doing at that? If God says, "Here's the standard. In order for you to get to my heaven, you've got to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength," how are you doing?
So trust and obey.
I mean, how are you doing at it?
You would get an F.
You'd get an F is exactly right. And if you go to the rest of the verse, it says, "And your neighbor as yourself." Not my neighbor. God, hear one thing, but my neighbor. So now think about the Ten Commandments. How are you doing on keeping the Ten Commandments? Hey, any of them. Pick one. That's right. Listen, you live under the law, and the law simply shows you that you don't keep the law. By showing me and you that we don't keep the law, it means, you know what? We need something else. We need someone else. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember it says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? Look at that verse. It says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That yoke of bondage is under the law. You go back to that system of performance and it condemns you. But who's making the decision to do that? We do. When we live under that law, it's because we are putting ourselves back under that law. When we live under those self-defeating thoughts, when we live under those self-condemning thoughts, those are thoughts we have about ourselves. What is that? It's a false system of perception about who God says we are in Christ. We're using the wrong standard to identify ourselves. See that? Now go back with me, if you would, over to 1 Thessalonians. Back to 1 Thessalonians, where we started. Back to 1 Thessalonians. Let me ask you another couple of questions. How many of you are a prophet here this morning and can foretell the future? How many of you can foretell the future? Yeah, every hand should have gone up this morning. What happened to your hands? Don't you guys know? Do you absolutely know some things that are absolutely going to come to pass in 2015?
Yeah.
Such as?
Yeah.
Your eternal life in Christ.
Your eternal life in Christ, and give enough time, death. Good. What else?
Rapture.
What's that, Berta? God wins. That's good. Okay? That's good. Ken, you said it. Yeah. But some events that are absolutely, for sure, guaranteed to come to pass in 2015. You can't say the rapture because you don't know that for sure. It could happen. Okay? What's that? No, you don't know that for sure in 2015.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What I said is, I said, what are some events that you know for sure that are absolutely guaranteed to happen in 2015? He's going to get hungry and I'm going to hurt myself. Yeah.
I guarantee that 2015 is going to happen and that the Word of God is still going to be true.
That's huge right there. What you know with absolute certainty in 2015 is God's Word is going to be as true as it ever has been and ever will be. You can count a guaranteed prediction. God's Word is going to work.
Amen.
And it's going to work when you believe it. Okay, let us know for sure, guaranteed, for sure, it's going to happen in 2015.
Our salvation, if we die, God will save
us. Okay, you know for sure, if you die physically, you guarantee you go be with the Lord. To depart from the body, be with the Lord, right? Good, what else? What else do you know? For sure, guaranteed, you can, is absolutely guaranteed to happen in 2015. What's that? Or not to happen. You know with absolute certainty that the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth is not going to happen in 2015. You know with absolute certainty, absolute guarantee, it's not going to come back in 2015.
Right.
How do we know that, by the way?
Because it could be 7 years of tribulation.
Yeah, because we live in the dispensation of grace. The 7 years of the tribulation period has to precede, the physical return of Christ to this earth. So you know Jesus Christ absolutely cannot return to this earth in 2015. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. He just lost his mind, right? Okay. Okay.
Come back next year.
Yeah, come back next year, he says. Listen, I can guarantee you something, absolutely guaranteed in 2015, that God will continue to love you as much as He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Because nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Things present or things to come. So you're absolutely guaranteed, you can predict for sure that God is going to love you as much as He loves the Lord Jesus. He's going to love you that much in 2015. What are some other things you can absolutely predict that are absolutely going to come to pass in 2015?
Ken, go ahead. God's love will never change.
That's what I just said. God's love will never change. He'll love you forever. Go ahead. God will not because He cannot lie. And that kind of goes back to, Joe, what you were saying about His Word being trustworthy. There's a number of things that you know for sure they're going to come to pass in 2015. Now,
He's not going to lower the standards of salvation.
He's not going to change or lower the standards of salvation. What's the standard of salvation? It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's the finished work of Christ on the cross. Isn't that something? That's what the gospel is. You see that? Now go back with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5. That took a little bit longer than I thought it would take. I'm still in my introduction here. Okay, sorry about that. But watch this. Whatever comes to pass in 2015, whatever happens, whether it are events of affliction or sorrow, or whether events where you're happy or good, whatever comes to pass in 2015, you know what? One of the things that God says, He says this. Verse 16. Two words. What's He say?
Rejoice everyone.
That verse never goes out of style. That verse never changes. Well, that verse says, rejoice evermore. It's regardless of what year it is. By the way, that's kind of true of all the Word of God anyway. Scripture is divided, right? But think about that. Regardless of what comes in the future. Regardless of what we face in 2015, you know what God tells us to do? Among many things, He says in that verse, rejoice evermore. Why?
First of all, He's talking about the believers. Because the promise of the Lord, and you're able to.
Because what?
Because He's talking to believers.
He's talking to believers.
So you've got no reason not to rejoice.
What is our reason to rejoice? What did you say, Sue? Listen, bottom line is this. The reason to rejoice evermore. is that when you and I got saved, we found the purpose of life. And the purpose of life is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We found the one in whom the very meaning and existence of the creation all centers in. When we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for our personal Savior, we found the one, or I probably should say we're found by God, right? The right way to say it. Because we weren't looking for God. He came looking for us. That's what the cross is all about. He came looking for mankind. But think about that. We found the purpose of living. We found the one who is at the heart of the purpose for which God lives. Look at how he says it over in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. We've read this verse many times over the years. Philippians 3. Yeah, go ahead, just a second.
The majority of the different religions, they're looking for God.
Yes.
In our case, God is looking
for us. He's looking for us. That's what the cross is all about. God sent his own son. We didn't go asking God. God sent him. Okay? Look at this verse here. And make the connection with the rejoice evermore. Look at this verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He says this. Finally, my brethren. And then what is the next statement
rejoice
saying? Rejoice where? What does the word rejoice mean?
Happy.
No, it doesn't mean be happy.
Again and again.
Joy. Again. Rejoice. Have joy again. What's the difference between happiness, and I'm not getting on your case, that's not my point, but what's the difference between happiness and joy? You can hear it in the word happy.
Happiness is an emotion, joy is the reason for it.
That's a good way to put it. Happiness is more the emotion, joy is the reason, but there's still something else very different about those two. Happiness and joy, there's still something very different.
Based on happening.
That's exactly right. Happiness is contingent upon happenings. Whereas joy is independent of the happenings. See that? So that verse says, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Find the cause, the reason to have joy and to have joy again and again and again. Find it where? In Christ. That means if we're looking for purpose, if we're looking for a reason to have joy, don't we need to look in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the right place? And the right person? See that? The Lord Jesus Christ. See that? If we want to have joy again, we need to make sure and look in the right place. You've heard the old joke. It's a pretty bad one, but I'll say it again anyway. Yeah, the guy who's a bank robber. He robs a bank and he doesn't get out with all the money and the cops catch him, and so they throw him in jail, and 10 years later he gets back out and everything, and he goes back and tries to rob another bank and everything. He doesn't get out of the bank in time, and he doesn't get the money, so they arrest him again, throw him back in jail and everything. 10 years later he gets back out of jail and everything, and he goes back to the bank and tries to rob the bank again, and the district attorney says, dude, aren't you getting this? Why do you keep going to the bank to rob the bank? And the guy says what? Because that's where the money is. Listen, he knew where to go to find the money. Listen, that's a really bad joke, and I've told it too many times, right? But listen, the point is, if we want to find joy in Christ, I'm sorry, I give the answer already. If we want to find joy again, should we look in the world? How about the news? How about the headlines? How about your checkbook, he says. I know. Yeah, how about your significant other? That's right. Listen, the purpose and reason for living is not even someone as important to you as your wife, your spouse. The purpose and reason for living is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's find our joy in Him. Go ahead.
In the second half of that verse, Christ defines the word evermore. If we lift up by
that's exactly right. See that? Look at that. Stay there at that verse. And then we got to move on quickly. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is what?
Shame.
See, it didn't cause grief on the behalf of the Apostle Paul to have to keep reminding the Philippians about find your joy in Christ. Find your joy in Christ. Find your joy in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Find your joy in Christ. It didn't cause Paul grief to heck. By the way, why did Paul have to keep reminding the Philippians about this again and again and again and again? How come? Because they're just like we are. How many times do we have to have our attention brought back to the Word of God, brought back to our identity in Christ, brought back to verses that we've read 100 times before? How many times? Regular basis. See that? Paul says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed. It's not grievous, but for you it is safe. How is it safe? How is it safe? Safe from what? How is it that being reminded to find our joy in Christ is safe? What's safe about that?
Because it's reality, and when you take away Christ, reality is gone.
Good. What else? Why is it safe to be told again and again and again to find your joy in Christ?
We've been protected from the world that we've been surrounded by misery.
See that?
ISIS and
listen, your thoughts. What we take into our thinking is what we're going to let control us. When that verse says to write the same things to you, to me indeed, it's not grievous. But there's spiritual safety from confusion, despair, anxiety, hopelessness. What's that?
Evil
workers. That in the very context. There's spiritual safety by being reminded about where we need to look to find joy again. Look to the right place. Henry, go ahead.
Because even Paul himself has to remind himself.
Yes.
On 3:10 of the same chapter.
Yes.
Yes. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him.
Yes. Exactly. 3:10, see that verse? That I may know him. That's the Apostle Paul. Go back quickly, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5. Next thing he says, after saying rejoice evermore. What does he say next?
Pray without ceasing.
There it is. Pray without ceasing. Why do that?
Why not?
He said. That's a good question.
Because the Lord's interested in.
That's huge. Did you hear what Joe said? Because the Lord is interested. You see, you can't see God right now. Did you know that? And you can see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in believers. You and I are loved by the Creator of heaven and earth. But not just that. He cares. The fact that He would tell us to pray without ceasing means someone who cares is listening. The fact that He tells us to pray without ceasing. What is prayer? Prayer is just talking to God. So when you pray without ceasing, it is an acknowledgement that He is there, that He is listening, that He does care. But the fact that it says pray without ceasing also acknowledges what?
Our need
to trust His Word. Our need to depend on Him.
Every moment
of every day.
If Jesus prayed without ceasing, He's being the Son of God. Imagine what we have to do.
What does it demonstrate? Because we're not Jesus. So it demonstrates even the depth of our need. But it does include praise as well. Yes, pray without ceasing. It means God is there. He does care. It means He is involved. Understand that? He doesn't say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a nap right now. Talk to me in a couple hours. He doesn't say that. He's not like me and you. He doesn't need to sleep or rest or slumber. The fact that He says, pray without ceasing. Whatever the situation you're facing, just talk to God about it. Whether it's events that give you happiness or joy, or events that cause you stress, just talk to the Lord about it. The relationship that we have with God in Christ is a relationship that is a relationship of unconditional acceptance and love. What should you talk to God about?
Everything.
How about everything? I mean, after all, he knows what you're thinking anyway, doesn't he? I know some people dispute that. God doesn't dispute that. He knows what you're thinking. Try to hide something from God, right? Go a full week without talking to God. By the way, why would you do that anyway? But yeah, okay, Lord, I'm not going to talk to you this week. Nope, I'm not talking this week. No, not today either. They say, no, I'm not talking today either, Lord. No, no. The Lord, what's the Lord doing? He's just kind of, what I do. You know? God's always, He knows what you're thinking. You can trust His Word. And when He says there, pray without ceasing. Watch this. I'm going to have you go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 here. Watch this. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Watch this. Romans chapter number 8. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture that acknowledges the infirmity that we have as humans in relationship to our prayer life. Watch this. No, I'm running out of time. I got to move on quickly here, okay? I'm not trying to be disrespectful or dishonest. I'm just saying we got to just move on, okay? We'll talk afterwards, okay? Watch this. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit though, right? Watch this. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Well, what's our infirmities? Watch this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. See, in the context, one of the infirmities that we have is the idea we don't always know what to pray for as we ought. See that there? But don't stop reading there, because a lot of people stop there. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I got a question for you. Based upon verse 26, are there some things that we don't know? Everybody see that there? Now watch verse 28. What does the first statement say? Do you see what his thinking just did? Watch what he says. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What did the Holy Spirit of the dependent Apostle Paul just do to our thinking right there? How? He changed it. How?
The way God is thinking about
it. Yes. He changed it by taking our thinking off of our infirmities of not knowing what we should pray for as we ought, and putting our thinking on God's thinking to where we do know. We do know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them where the call is for His purpose. We do know that for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. We do know that God is for us, who can be against us? We do know that He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. We do know that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Don't spend time dwelling upon, being controlled by, being ruled by that which you don't know when there's so much that you do know. Don't live your life as a believer saying this, oh, I just don't know this, I just don't know that, I'm so spiritual. You aren't, there's nothing spiritual at all about that. It is spiritual, it is a walk of faith to say things like this, we know that all things work together. We know that God spared not His own Son. We know that He's for us. We know that He cannot be against us. You see the difference there? You change your thinking from being controlled and possessed by that which you don't know how to pray for as you ought, to following the lead of the Holy Spirit right there, to what you do know to be thankful for. Do you see that there? So what do? We rejoice evermore because we found the purpose and meaning of life in Jesus Christ. We pray without ceasing. Yeah, there's a lot of times we don't know what we should pray for. But there are a lot of things we do know. There's a whole lot more that we do know than we don't know. If we believe what God's Word says. And so, what's the next thing say? And everything give thanks. Just that threefold pattern right there. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Now question. What's the in everything give thanks? What are we thankful for? How about this list again? For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow. How about this whole list here? How about God's for us? Who can be against us? How about nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord? How about you are a part of God's plan called glory? A plan that He came up with before the foundation of the world, that every part of His being, that every ounce of His purpose in living is to see this plan come to pass. Because it's the plan involving the eternal glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the center of His heart. And you're in that plan. Amen. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I got a question for you. It's not a trick question, but you got to stop and think before you answer. Do you know for sure the will of God for your life in every single situation? How come only one person answered? Okay, two people. No. I got a question for you. Let me ask it again. Do you know for sure the will of God for your life in every single situation? Yes, yes or no?
Yes.
Why do you say yes?
Because it says it right there.
We just read the verse. The verse says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, too often we're trying to define the will of God by what shoes should I buy? What car should I buy? What city should I live in? What job should I get? God, show me your will. Well, that's not so much the will of God. God doesn't care what color shirt you wore to church this morning. He lets you decide. And some of y'all definitely didn't consult Him. But anyway, listen, that's not the issue. The will of God is to get, there's so much that God is excited about, that you're a part of what He's doing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now let me try to close this way. Some say, well, this is just the power of positive thinking. This is just more of that Tony Robbins type stuff. You don't know who Tony Robbins is. If you don't worry about it, okay? But this is just more, you know, name it, claim it type stuff and everything. Well, in case you forget the context of 1 Thessalonians where these verses are found, Paul says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, he uses the word that they were under much affliction. They received the word in much affliction. He uses the word in chapter number 2, specifically verse 14, about the fact that they, the Thessalonians, were suffering for the truth. He uses the word in chapter 3, again, the word affliction. They were going through great afflictions because of their faith in Christ. In chapter number 4 of Thessalonians, you know what they were having to deal with? It was causing sorrow. Anybody remember what they're having to deal with? No?
People were departing.
No? 1 Thessalonians 4? That loved ones had died. Believers had died. Mothers, fathers, children, good friends had died. You read all through the book of Thessalonians, and man, they're going through not only external afflictions from unbelievers, suffering physically, personally, but then the emotional suffering, the loss, the heavy heart, the loneliness of those who lost their spouses, lost their children. And it's in that context, it's in the setting of that kind of situation, that as Paul brings the book to a close, that First Thessalonians, he says, listen guys, here's how to get through it all. The circumstances won't change. But they eventually will. The rapture is going to happen, by the way. But the afflictions are going to be there. The sufferings are going to be there. Challenges of life are going to be there. Loved ones are going to pass away. But here's how you get through it all. Rejoice evermore. Remember where you're looking to find your joy. Pray without ceasing because you're talking to someone who cares. And in everything, affliction, suffering, loss of a loved one, whatever it is, in everything, just give thanks. You don't say, God, I thank you that this bad thing happened to me. I thank you that we had to file bankruptcy. I thank you that our house burned down. That's not the point. No. God, I thank you that you saved me. I thank you that you placed me into living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that you've given me an eternal home in the heavenly places. I thank you that you've given me your word. I thank you that you've given me a body of believers to fellowship with. I thank you that you've given us a desire and a passion to know you and know your word. I thank you that you love us with a never-ending, undying, eternal love. I thank you that you've sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Just a whole list. Regardless of the afflictions, regardless of the suffering, regardless of the pain, regardless of the hurt, regardless of the emotional struggles that we all have, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we head into 2015, among the many, many other things that you will remember, would you remember these? Remember these. What? Because why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can spend a little bit of time this morning and here in your word and kind of a little bit of an informal setting here, just enjoying the fellowship, enjoying your word, enjoying one another. We thank you for these verses that have been here all these years, and will continue to be here, and that we can, by faith, choose to use, to rely on, to rest in. We thank you for the insight and the wisdom that it gives us. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and your mercy to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed our hope and our cause of joy and rejoicing. In whose name we do pray. Amen.